In the book of Acts, you know where that is. New Testament, got the four Gospels, and then you got the book of Acts. And we're going to look at a thought here, but we're going to read a lot of scriptures this morning. There's one thing that I regret in our brotherhood. When I was just a little kid, everybody had the same Bible, King James. And when the preacher say you can follow along, everybody could. But nowadays, I don't know, there's sometimes 5, 6, 7 different translations that people have. And it's hard to sometimes follow along. But over in the book of Acts, you're familiar with chapter 2. If you've been in the brotherhood any length of time, you know that was the beginning of the church. And Peter stood up on that day and proclaimed the gospel by Luke, the author of this, that there were thousands that obeyed the gospel. And then, as time went on, and you come on through chapter 3, you find that the church just keeps growing, and then there are people obeying the gospel. And when you get to this third chapter, you see that Peter and John, according to verses 1 there, that they were going up to the temple. That's the old Jewish temple. They were going up there for the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And as they were going to the temple to pray, they come across a lame man that was before them. And you know how it is when you are in a big town like Jacksonville and some others, that sometimes you can hardly get out of the car before somebody's asking you if you could give them some money, if you could buy them this or do that, and so forth and so on. So Luke tells us that the man was looking at Peter and John expectantly. He was expecting something. And Peter said, you know, my good man, we don't have silver, we don't have gold, we don't have any money to give you. But we can give you something that is far, far better. And they healed this man. And he got up. And he had been paralyzed for years and years and years. And that got a crowd. And so Peter and John took advantage of it, and they preached a sermon. And people were listening to them. Well, this was just wonderful as we read there about what all was going on. And they were doing so good. But you get to chapter 4. Now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came up on them. You know who these people are, don't you? Well, I could put it in one word. They were trouble. They were trouble. And one of them was really trouble. Sadducees. We're not talking about the Pharisees now, but we're talking about the Sadducees. They seem to be the big shots in the Jewish nation. They seem to be the ones that you come to me and let me tell you what to do. They were the ones that did not believe. You remember in what was it? They didn't believe in these resurrections and things. They didn't believe you come back. And so here they are. Verse 2, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in Jesus. Now notice this, the resurrection from the dead. Boy, that really got the Sadducees. They didn't want to hear that. That just wasn't in their book of beliefs. And so it is, verse 3, and they laid hands on them and put them in custody till the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word, now listen to this, Many of those who had been in that crowd, simply because Peter and John healed somebody, got a crowd, preached to them, and many of them are those who had heard the word, believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. I don't know how many women responded. But boy, I wish I could preach and 5,000 would respond. I preach and they go the other way, 5,000 of them do. But that's all right. Verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were the family of the high priest. Oh, we had all the big shots there. They were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, here talking about Peter and John. Now here's all this august crowd of big guys. I mean, they're the rulers in Jerusalem. They're the rulers of the Jews. And here are these two little men, Peter and John, standing there probably, maybe sitting, one commentator says. And when they set them in the midst, they ask, by what power or by what name have you done this? Who do you people think you are? Listen, guys, we've talked about these things before. And you're not supposed to be running around talking to people and getting a crowd and converting these people. Now, what's wrong? Okay. Then verse 8. Beginning in verse 8, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them. Now, Peter just gets up and he says, now listen, this is it. You would think that he would be sitting there trembling, wouldn't you? That he was sitting there thinking, John, this is it. We're probably going to be crucified. But I'm going to say something. And so he gets up. And he says, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which had been come the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Amen. Now you got it all? You see where we are? So Peter says, listen, we're going to preach. Whether you say to or not, whether you like it or not, we're going to preach. Now, verse 13. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men. They marveled. Now, they were uneducated and untrained man, as the New King James Version says. It simply means they weren't total idiots. They weren't total dummies. It just means probably that they had not been educated by some rabbi, some high guy in the Jewish system of things, and had taught them all of these things about the religion and so forth. They had just not been privy to that. But they were good men, honest men, and they could talk and they could read. They weren't, you know, just dummies. But they weren't what the leaders would say. We want this person over here. They know more about these things than you guys do. But now notice the rest of that verse, because this is what I'm building the lesson on this day. We're taking a little roundabout trip to get here. But they said I could preach for 2 hours, and maybe it was 2 minutes. I don't know. I don't hear well. But anyway, it says, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceive that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marvel. Now notice this. And they realize that they had been with Jesus. Now, brethren, that's what we want to look at a little bit this morning. The Jews were upset because of what these two men had been doing. But we find here that they were men who were going to preach the gospel whether these authorities liked it or not. Now let me ask you this question, and you think about it for just a second or two. You don't have to speak out loud. But let me ask you this. It, to me, is a very important, serious question. And that is, can people look at you, your neighbors, places where you work, people you know, can they look at you and say, you have been with Jesus? That means you've been studying your word. You've been following Jesus. You've been listening to what has been revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. Have you been with Jesus? Would people know that from the way you act, from the way you talk, from what you do? If you go out on Sunday morning and you hitch up the boat and you're gone to have a good day of recreation, have you been with Jesus? Could your neighbor say, oh yeah, I saw them going off to fish today. They didn't go to be with Jesus. Do we get up and we say we want to do this or that, and I work all week hard, and Saturdays we try to get this done and that done, and now here's Sunday. Let's miss a day or two. And let's get out and do things. We're living in an hour where there's a lot of antagonism toward the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was working on this sermon this week, and yesterday I was looking up something, and I was troubled by the things I was reading of how that the numbers of those who claim to be Christians keeps going down year after year. You know, it used to be when we identified ourselves, you know, on a census, you white or you black, Hispanic, whatever, what age, what group, what religion. And you know what more and more people are writing? When it comes, what religion are you? They're writing none. N-O-N-E. None. And that number is going down year after year after year. Why aren't we filling up all of these pews? Because people are none. They're not interested in it. To go out and teach a neighbor, a friend, they're just not interested in it. For the last several years at Lake Forest. My memory, you know. At Lake Forest, I was sort of an associate preacher, assistant, part-time. But I would go and help other congregations when their preacher was gone. And I got to doing quite a bit at Paxson Congregation over on the other side. I watched them through the years going down, down, down. Well, recently they just had to lock the doors. They only had about 10 members. And that was sad. Sad that they'd come to that. Nice building. Not in the best location in the world, but it was a beautiful little building. Very adequate. And I can remember when I first came to Florida and preached there, that they had the building filled. You couldn't find a place to sit. Down to 10. And of those 10, two of them were visitors, me and my wife, helping them out. Sad. And so it is. People are not interested in it. But look again at verse 13. 3 points, if we have time here. 3 points. First of all, in verse 13, the master cannot be denied. Jesus is the one. They realize they had been with Jesus. His presence is undeniable. When Peter and John spoke, they did so how? With boldness. Now that can also be translated with courage, with confidence. But they preached. There is someone speaking their mind without regard for what others think about them. Peter and John are going to tell these authorities, we are going to preach Christ. And we're going to preach His resurrection whether you like it or not. That's boldness. That's confidence. And so as you look at it, Peter is here. He's the same man, not long before this. Same man who denied Jesus and he didn't know Him. He didn't deny Him once, twice, but 3 times. Don't know this man. Leave me alone. I'm not a disciple of His. Now look at Peter. What's happened? What's changed? Here is a boldness. Here is a confidence that these men have. Do we have that kind of confidence today? Do we have that boldness today? Not only is His presence undeniable, but His power is undeniable. Where did these men learn their truths? Where did they learn to talk like this? They had been with Jesus. That's it. That's how they did. If you are going to sit down with a neighbor and talk to them about their soul, you're going to do a bang-up job if you've been with Jesus. Now, they may not listen. They may not accept that. But they will have to admit you've been with Jesus. You know Him, don't you? I wish I could know Him like you do. Really? Well, let's see if we can get that. These men were doing just exactly what Jesus had done. He went out and He talked to the authorities. He didn't mince His words. He didn't talk about things that were of no use. When Jesus comes into our life, things change. Can't you tell a new Christian from a non-Christian? Can't you tell somebody who's really, sincerely, truly obeyed the gospel and they're on fire for the Lord? Until some brethren who grouch about everything tear them down. You see, there's things here. When Jesus comes into a life, things are going to be different. I don't know if I have any influence on people or not. We live in an apartment complex of hundreds of people. And I don't know how many of them are up on Sunday morning, but they see us going to church. They see our Bibles. And they see us, of all things, going back again on Sunday night. And even to beat that on Wednesday night. Boy, you're fanatics. What's wrong with you? They had been with Jesus. The Lord's power is a redeemed life is undeniable. Number two here. The miracles cannot be denied. The Jews were in a dilemma. We don't want these men preaching this. But over here stood the man they had healed. And he was watching it all. They had to admit that man, his whole body had been changed. It was a miracle. Everybody knew probably who he was as they went to the temple. It might have been a good place to sit down there, lay down there, and beg for people to give you something. But here it is. On the one hand, they've got Peter and John. On the other hand, they've got this man over here. Now, what are we going to do? How are we going to deal with this? We can't say that it didn't happen. The man's still standing here. Somebody get him out of here. Get him away. But you see what it was? They didn't know what to do. They knew the man was healed. But they knew we got to do something or these people are going to take over. Look at Pentecost, how many they got. Look at this. How many they got. Just men. We're not counting the women also. And so, they knew the man, undeniably, he was walking. He was leaping. He was jumping around. And they had to realize that there's a change taking place. This change can't be denied. He was healed. You know, when you're sick and you get better, you're better. You know? I had a neck something out of the other week. I don't know if I slept on it wrong or if Joy slapped me or what, but I walked around like a poor old man, all bent over, and I couldn't hardly turn or sit down or stand up. But when it was over with, I knew it was over with. I felt better. Brethren, it can be. The same is true of the church. There are people here today, you people, who have a changed life, don't you? I don't know how long you've all been Christians. Maybe some recently, maybe some for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. But there's been a change in your life. You're different. You're not the same person that you were before. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, what? They're a new creature, new person. And that's the way you want it to be. The old things have passed away. The new things are here. When the serpent in the wilderness, you remember that story in the Old Testament? Israel looked upon that serpent. If they were bitten, they looked upon it and they were healed. Lives were changed. Things were better. And so it is that here's a man that got up that morning. He was carried to the gate of the temple there. Same person. But at the end of that day, he was different. Why? He was healed. Life can be turned around if we want to obey the gospel. Now, I don't know how many are here today, this morning, who've never obeyed the gospel. I'd like to think all of you are Christians. But if there are those who are Christians, we're going to extend an invitation a little while. And you have an opportunity to respond. You know, people need to realize that. So, the Master cannot be denied. Jesus is Jesus. The miracles cannot be denied. And the third one is, the message cannot be denied. Message is important, isn't it? I love to come together as Christians and just fellowship, you know, to be with one another. I enjoy that, sitting and talking. But it's the message that we need to hear. The message of the gospel. We realize sometimes that people, I don't know what it is, they don't listen. Their minds are elsewhere when the gospel is proclaimed. But we need to realize that it's important what the message brings. And I know Victor brings to you good messages. I know he encourages you and builds you up. And that's what I try to do too. It's what I've tried to do for 60 years. But we need to hear it. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16, "For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel." We need to hear it. It is a message of love that we preach. It's a message that we preach of our Savior who loves us and who went to the cross to prove that He died for our sins. It's a message of life that we preach, that we can have eternal life with Jesus Christ. It's a message of liberty that we have to be free from sin and from being lost. We have that same message today in our Bible that we need to hear and respond to. Let me ask you once again now. I started out by asking you a question, and let me ask you another one. And that is, have you been with Jesus? Have you been with Him, walking with Him, listening to His Word, and what you need to do to be saved? If there are those who are here this morning, you've not obeyed the gospel, why not? I mean, what can you say to me as to why you're not a Christian? But if you're here this morning and you obeyed the gospel, maybe you've not been doing it like you should. Maybe you've not been faithful. Maybe you've not been reading your Bible and studying it and being in attendance. You want to ask forgiveness. The elders here will be glad to sit and talk with you, pray for you, pray with you. Anytime I ever preach at Lake Forest, there's an elder standing here and an elder standing there at the invitation. And they come and they help you if you respond. So what it may be, I don't know. I don't know if it's helped you any or not. But think about it. So you can say, yes, I've been with Jesus. The invitation stands open as together we stand as we sing.